of you alongside Sam Saig for week 5 of Running the Option. Sam, how you feeling today?
Doing great. You know, we're inching our way closer to the halfway point of this season, which means to me, we're actually finally separating contenders from pretenders in college football. And that's the most exciting time, I think.
And the issue with that, as we realized when we were looking ahead at the schedule, is sometimes a lot of pretenders are playing against contenders and you don't have a whole lot of interesting matchups.
No doubt about it. Sometimes you think a contender is a contender, and then one week they show you they're not even close.
So we'll talk a little bit about the big game of the week, the Oklahoma-Texas game, a little later in the podcast, but I wanted to start this show off by talking about, obviously you look at the two major contenders other than Oklahoma are both in the SEC right now, and that's Alabama and LSU, and we're both in agreement here that whoever wins that game when they play is in all likelihood going to win the entire thing here in college football. It's going to be awfully tough for Alabama or LSU to be beaten by a team, especially outside of the SEC. The interesting thing about both of these teams is that neither of them really has a great quarterback.
They really don't, and they don't have to. I mean, if you look at these two programs philosophically, they don't believe necessarily in having a quarterback that wins games for you. I mean, you hear that a lot, but the truth is, these are two teams that manage the game on offense. They ask their quarterback to be smart first and foremost, to control the tempo, but outside of that, there are a lot of other ways that these programs win.
And to Jarrett Lee's defense, he has had a good season, but it's only been a good season. Right. It hasn't been a great season. It hasn't had to be a great season, because like you said, you manage the game, you let your defenses make big plays. I'm looking at the SEC quarterback situation, and when you just look at national statistics at the quarterback position, the SEC has three guys, and this is the best conference in college football.
Yep.
The SEC has three guys in the top 60 in passing yardage. You've got Tyler Wilson with 1,517 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's 7th out of Arkansas. You've got Tennessee's Tyler Bray, 1,328 yards, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's 17th. Then you go all the way down to Aaron Murray, who's arguably the most talented quarterback in the conference, with 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's at 42nd. That's 60 quarterbacks in the nation, and you only have three guys in the best conference in the nation in this conversation. It really puts into question this whole you have to have a great quarterback to win theory.
No doubt about it. And look at the three teams. No disrespect to Arkansas, who's had a great year for the most part. But if you look at Arkansas, Tennessee, and Georgia, it's three teams that we don't expect to be in the SEC title conversation at the end of the season. The teams we do expect to, they win in other ways. Very simply stated, they don't have to win on the arm of their quarterback. The Pac-12, the Big 12, there are a lot of great quarterbacks. But these teams in the SEC at the top, the elite ones, they find ways to win in other ways.
If you look at it, Alabama and LSU are the two favorites, and then South Carolina with the tough one last week, but between South Carolina and Florida, those are probably the two teams out east. So you could argue that the three best quarterbacks in the conference aren't even in the top four teams in the conference, and it's pretty crazy that a position of such importance that's well known throughout both pro and college football as being the most important position on the field really isn't in the SEC, and yet the SEC is the standard to which we measure all other conferences. So it's an interesting dynamic there.
It is, and this is where we get into the meat of our topic, because the SEC now has won 5 straight national championships. So you have to ask yourself, what is the methodology, what is the formula to making the SEC this dominant over the course of the greater half of the last decade? And the answer, as I found, is a repeatable formula that you've seen repeated a number of times by a number of programs in the SEC. And I think that the best way to do this is to look from 2010, from last year, backwards, and let's figure out how some of this has gone down. So you start in 2010, and you have Auburn beating an Oregon team that, when that game was scheduled, when we knew those two teams were playing, everyone was excited because you had one of the best offenses in recent memory in Oregon playing an Auburn offense led by one of the most electrifying players in recent memory. rivalry. And we all screamed shootout. It had to be a shootout.
Yep.
And yet, here was this Oregon team that with a month to prepare, Auburn found ways to completely blow up a timing spread offense with explosive players. Oregon was healthy coming into the game, but you gave this team a month, an SEC-quality team, that nobody raved about their defense, but they all knew how great the defensive line was in the front seven. And Nick Fairley, this dominant defensive lineman, and some really great players around him, were able to take apart an Oregon offense that was rolling all season.
Yeah, Cam Newton, for all the incredible things he did throughout the regular season, and he did come up big at a couple points in that game, he was out of sync for most of the game.
He was.
If Oregon just goes out there and runs the offense at half of the efficiency they did throughout the regular season, they could have taken an early lead. They looked awful. They didn't have a chance, and a lot of that was Nick Fairley.
And they were blown up in SEC fashion, and as we'll see as we go backwards, it's a formula that was repeated a number of times. Look at 2009, Alabama over Texas. If you look at Alabama's season that year, half of their opponents, of their 14 opponents, they held under 10 points. It's a Nick Saban defense. They have an identity. We're talking about guys like Marcel Darius, Terrence Mount, Cody, Rolando McClain, Dante Hightower. This is the formula. They took an offense in Texas with Colt McCoy. Some people thought Colt McCoy should have won the Heisman Trophy that year. Not only did they knock him out of the game, but then they just rolled over anything Texas wanted to do.
And you can talk all you want about if Colt McCoy would have stayed healthy. Right. It wouldn't have made a difference. I'm sorry. I don't buy this Texas philosophy that if Colt McCoy stays healthy, we would have done something. It wouldn't have mattered. This defense was too good.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And the thing is, I think it's funny that we talk about Greg McElroy leading that Alabama offense, and he did a fine job all season of managing him. But I think there's a reason the New York Jets drafted him, because he's a game manager.
Yeah, Greg McElroy isn't in the conversation of the top 30 quarterbacks in college football in 2009, yet he's the guy at the top of the best team in the league.
He did everything they wanted him to do. 2008, Florida over Oklahoma. So now we start this Heisman Trophy formula that we see repeated, where Florida comes in, you're playing Oklahoma. Oklahoma has the Heisman Trophy winner in Sam Bradford, an offense that was a true juggernaut the entire season. And Florida was headlined by Tim Tebow and Percy Harvin. So the offense was getting the headlines. But in this game, you have a 24-14 win by Florida. And it was Brandon Spikes. It was Carlos Dunlap. It was this incredibly deep Florida defense that took control of that game. Tebow didn't have to do that much. Percy Harvin didn't have to do that much. They made the plays when they had to. But here's this great quarterback in Tebow. And it was really that Florida defense that with a month to prepare took apart Oklahoma.
Right. Being fair, obviously Tim Tebow was one of the best quarterbacks in the nation that year. Cam Newton was the best quarterback in the nation last year. But the point being, on the big stage, it wasn't these guys putting up huge numbers. It was these hardcore defenses. And it is interesting looking at the other side of these equations. When you look at the Darren Thomas, LaMichael James combination that Oregon had, and then you look at Colt McCoy, Sam Bradford, these were big Heisman contenders, but then they go up against these tough offenses, and it's all for naught.
It's always, and it seems to be the same as you get further back in time as well, because in 2007, LSU plays an Ohio State team that a lot of people like this Ohio State team, and LSU came in as a two-loss team. I mean, a two-loss SEC team comes into this national championship game, led by Matt Flynn, a very unremarkable quarterback coming in, but again, a dominant defensive line led by Glenn Dorsey, who was the Nick Fairley of that season.
Yep.
And Tyson Jackson and a ton of other playmakers, and that was what they got done with. They had to play great defense. They Matt Flynn came in and managed the game, and it was more than enough to take care of Ohio State. Moving to 2006, Florida over Ohio State. So we have Ohio State in there again. 41-14 in this game. You had an offense led by Chris Leak. Now, this is a two-quarterback system, essentially, because they had Tebow in there. But Chris Leak was a good quarterback. He was a very highly touted recruit. But nothing that, if you look at the decade of quarterbacks in college football, you wouldn't put him anywhere near the top, I don't think.
No, and he was coming out of college, he wasn't much of a pro prospect at all, and he never became anything at the pro level. He was, like you said, a good college quarterback. But again, nowhere close to that top right. 10, top 15 in the nation.
Ohio State had a Heisman Trophy winner in Troy Smith coming into this game feeling great about themselves. What people don't realize is that this Florida defense held opponents below 20 points in 12 of 14 games. And Brandon Spikes, Jarvis Moss, Ray McDonald, these were the names on the defensive line and the front seven that took Troy Smith apart, that didn't allow any big plays. And from there, the rest was history. It was defense. Most teams that aren't in the SEC, they like to get at their opponents by attacking with offense first. The SEC in national championship games have attacked with defense first, taken the will out of their opponent on offense, taken their strength away from them, and then cleaned up with their own offenses.
Do football coaches realize this? I mean, do they realize that perhaps the most important position you can be recruiting are linemen on both sides of the ball? If you have a great offensive line that protects the quarterback and gives him all day to throw, you can make a quarterback out of anybody.
Right.
Similarly, if you're opening up huge holes for a guy to run through, anybody can run through them. Mm-hmm. A defensive line that can apply pressure, as you're illustrating through this walk down championship lane, is going to just control the tempo of a game and make life hell for any opposing offense. At what point do the top prospects in the nation stop being quarterbacks and running backs and start being these big, bad guys on the line?
Well, I mean, it might take as many national championships as it looks like, because this year it looks like the SEC is going to do this again. The way these teams are built in Alabama and LSU, there's no reason to believe that they won't repeat this same process again. I mean, I want to go back to 2003 as the last one of these, because I think it's the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
LSU had Matt Mock as their quarterback. So now this is the second LSU team with a forgettable quarterback in Matt Mock. They go in against an Oklahoma offense with Jason White, another Heisman Trophy winner, an explosive offense, maybe one of the most explosive Oklahoma had in the last decade. Mock played terrible in the game, throwing two interceptions, and it never mattered because this defense was incredibly dominant. Another 14-point game where it was 21-14. Oklahoma never had a chance to get in rhythm. This defense was led by Marcus Spears, Chad Lavallee. They had a safety by the name of Laurent Landry that came in and stopped the run, and it was led by Nick Saban. So Nick Saban was at LSU at this point. I don't know how many times we're going to need to see this play out before, like you said, teams in other conferences realize what it's going to take when you have a month to prepare for a team and their offensive scheme. Are you going to start matching the physicality, not just the speed that we hear about, but the physicality of SEC defenses?
It's funny hearing you go down this list, because we're sold this idea that the regular season is everything in college football, and there's this unpredictability and BCS busters and all this stuff. And it's true to some degree, because the teams that make it have to survive this gauntlet. But at the end of every season, it's a high-powered, explosive, fun offense versus a super tough defense led by a super tough defensive line. And that team wins every time.
Yep.
As crazy as college football is supposed to be, going down this list, there's no lack of predictability here.
It's one of those things where I remember the most fun game of the last maybe 15 years for a national championship was that USC-Texas game where Vince Young illustrated that amazing comeback.
Yep.
And I loved that game. It was 41-38. It was a lot of fun. And those two defenses were actually really good.
Yep.
But that's the last time we saw two offenses play up to their capabilities and shoot it out like the way that a lot of fans wanted to see. Since that time, there has been a book out on how to win a national championship. And if teams from other conferences don't start figuring it out and reading it and reading what Nick Saban does and Les Miles does, then I don't know that we're going to see a change in how we've seen these national championships go.
It is interesting that you say playing to their potential, because that's exactly what USC and Texas right. did. They both just came out and ran their offenses as they had all season, and it was something to behold. It is so frustrating how college football takes that long period off, because I feel like that's such an advantage to the defense that has so much time to study the offense and then has their game plan ready. You would think the offense with a month to prepare could come up with some cool new folds, but it never seems to work out that way. The offenses always seem to come out of sync. It was the worst game we'd seen out of Cam Newton,
right,
arguably all season, and it was the worst game we'd seen out of Oregon in quite a while, too. So I wonder how much of it is the layoff and how much of it is just these schemes, but no matter how you cut it, it's always the defenses that win.
And again, it just looks like another year of the same.
It's probably going to be, because LSU and Alabama whoever wins that game, good luck beating them.
Yeah.